This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. Today, featuring a little bit of a promo for the 2024 haiku calendar, plus a flavor of the moods of haiku. The haiku calendar is the 16th edition with brush calligraphy, photographs, and artwork from 59 artists. It's the year of the male wood dragon, the sign of Leo. The wood dragon. Dragon's natural element is wood, giving the wood dragon added strength and stability. As with trees, wood dragon loves to grow and expand and thrives in relationship with others and with generosity. Somewhere along the linear thinking, dragons got a bad name, as perhaps the most known case is of St. George slaying one. To the contrary, dragons are revered in China and have an esteemed function with the tree of life of Kabbalah. Dragon, according to Asian folktales, the dragon has the attributes of each of the other 11 signs of the zodiac. Whiskers of the rat, face and horns of an ox, claws and teeth of a tiger, belly of a rabbit, body of a snake, legs of horse, beard of goat or unicorn, wit or brain of a monkey, crest of a rooster, ears of a dog, and snout of a pig. Thus a sacred symbol of the collective of all beings, the we that is beyond individuality. That's from the front cover of the calendar. So with all the craziness going on in the world, that gives me something to look forward to the next year of working. Accentuation of working together, the human and non-human, human and non-human beings. That is a good guideline for all working together, because there's too much division and separation and fragmentation. So may the dragon help us with that. Meanwhile, we're still in the year of the rabbit, and I want to read some from, since we're in the autumn season, I want to focus on autumn. Autumn is, I think, an amazing time. I mean, every season is haiku season, but the thing about autumn that I love as far as haiku is it reminds of both the beauty and the transience, because we tend to look at the beauty and the color of the leaves, but there is also, but obviously it is also a time of decay. And so, I mean, you know, we focus on the beauty, which is nice. It is a beautiful time of year. But you don't hear people say, I'm going up to New England to look at the leaves decaying into the Mother Earth. But that is part of on the ground and part of what's happening in the leaves are nurturing the soil and providing mulch for the garden. So the haiku is the whole as above, as below picture. So we look up and we look down, we see the whole transience and the beauty within that. So a few of them from the calendar, this is by Lynn M. Forniff. Opening the window, the north wind rushes in, autumn equinox. Opening the window, the north wind rushes in, autumn equinox. Clear blue sky, after a flock of geese, one goose follows. That's by Cliff Blydner. Clear blue sky, after a flock of geese, one goose follows. And it's also a time of harvest. So here's one by Noick Gray, a writer friend up in British Columbia. Farmstead cookies sell, you never know what's in 'em, but they're made with love. Farmstead cookies sell. You never know what's in them, but they're made with love. And here's one. This is a deeper one. This is one that's, it's not really a haiku, but it's in the calendar. I am loose with the, even though I tend to write in a more traditional classic way, I totally encourage, you know, not everybody has to do that. So there is leeway. So I include short poems or little sayings anything that fits the flavor. It's the essence of the haiku that gets conveyed, but you know, meanwhile, the bulk of the calendar is actual quote haiku. But this one is by Lakota friend Tsiokasin Ghost Horse, and I have to plug his radio show in his 30 or 31st year, I think it is, First Voices Radio. Check that out. But this is one that reflects, that shows the depth and the breadth and the cosmology and the earthiness of the Lakota way. It's how everything is connected and interrelated. And it goes like this. Every fallen leaf is a completed prayer, a seasoned circle acknowledging relationship rhythmically sustained by the very same heartbeat held by the tree they saw in a lifetime, a memory of a continuum of time immemorial. And that's what I find very fascinating when I learned from him that in the Lakota language, the word for tree, that it has heart, the word heart in it. And then recently scientists or whomever discovered that the tree, with the way the sap gets pumped, that in essence the tree has a heartbeat. But here's the Lakota people from thousands and thousands of years ago already knowing that the tree has a heartbeat because they have the word heart in mixed in with it's part of the word tree. Every fallen leaf is a completed prayer, a seasoned circle acknowledging relationship rhythmically sustained by the very same heartbeat held by the tree they saw in a lifetime, a memory of a continuum of time immemorial. And here's one by Sarah Kahn. It's her first time. That's Khan. She's an eighth grader who loves to travel with her parents, reads, explores poetry, bakes, plays piano, sings, is the striker on her soccer team, and she wrote Memories of Exotic Kenya at the age of 10. This is her first time in the calendar, and here's her one of her haikus. Chocolate chip cookies in the oven. Grandma waits for the ding. Me too. Chocolate chip cookies in the oven. Grandma waits for the ding. Me too. And here's another, a little bit of a longer poem. It has the haiku feel to it. And this is, I'm planning to read this at the Thanksgiving dinner. This is by Bill Batcher, a poetry friend also on Long Island out in Greenport. Thanks for nothing. For the silence of a snowy day, for the purity of rain water, for the emptiness of a cloudless sky, for odor-free fresh air, for the smoothness of a polished stone, for a day without problems, fights, for a mind with no distractions. Thanks for nothing. And the haiku, part of what I love about the haiku is it reawakens me to the natural world and what's going on. So this is one I was standing outside, and you know, people sometimes, there's a certain sadness of all the leaves falling off and the trees look bare, and at first it's a little bit to adjust to that. But then this haiku gave me a pleasant surprise. Behind the leafless tree, a star I didn't know was there. Behind the leafless tree, a star I didn't know was there. And that one came through very much in the style of Bill Kenny, who passed away last year. He's in the haiku, still have many of his haiku and some of his books, so he's in the calendar as well again. He was just one of the most consistent haiku writers I ever met. When he would submit, there wasn't a one that I didn't like. So we think of him. I think of him too this time of year. And that's here's one that is similar. I think when I got that one, it reminded me of Bill's, because here's one of his: fog lifting, the tree where it is. Fog lifting, the tree where it is. So that's a little bit of the flavor of the calendar. And there's, as I mentioned, there's artwork, there is photography, and there is brush calligraphy to complement the haiku, and many holidays, and many from many traditions around the world, and so many people that I have to look it up during the year. I can't remember who all the people are anymore, and I have to look it up. But they're very interesting people. Sometimes people started a peace movement or a woman's rights movement or something from some country, who knows where. And those are the kind of things I like to put in to remind us of some good positive things. And since we're in November, November has such dates as National Bison Day. Many people are familiar with the Indian holiday Diwali. There's World Tsunami Awareness Day. International Day for Preventing the Exploitation of the Environment in War. Dorothy Day birthday. Black-necked Crane Festival, that's in Bhutan. Russell Means birthday. Deborah White Plume Day. Take a Hike Day. Of course, there's Thanksgiving, but there's also, which I won't get into all the political, socio-political details, but for many of the original peoples of this land, Turtle Island, it is also considered a day of mourning or un-Thanksgiving Day, which is also this year William Blake's birthday. So there's a lot of information in the calendar, and a flavor of the haiku, this from The Way of Zen by Alan Watts. He lists in the chapter on the Zen arts, there's four qualities or four moods of haiku, and I wanted to touch on those because they seem especially applicable at the time of autumn. They are Sabi, Wabi, Aware, I think it's pronounced, it's spelled like the word aware, Aware and Yugen. The quiet, thrilling loneliness of Sabi. Here's an example, I think this is by Busson or Basho. On a withered branch, a crow is perched, autumn evening. On a withered branch, a crow perching, autumn evening. In the dark forest, a berry drops, the sound of the water. In the dark forest, a berry drops, the sound of the water. And Sabe is also loneliness in the sense of Buddhist detachment, of seeing all things as happening by themselves in miraculous spontaneity. So that's some of the autumn flavor. The leaves coming off the trees remind us of detachment and things happening. And I like to say leaves because of the word leaves is, they do leave the tree, but the word leave is like to go away or something. And the leaves are just going, they're going to the ground, so they're not going that far. So I've come to prefer to say leaves, even though that may sound unconventional. With the Sabe, with this goes that sense of deep, illimitable quietude, which descends with a long fall of snow, swallowing all sounds in layer upon layer of softness. Sleet falling, fathomless, infinite loneliness. Sleet falling, fathomless, infinite loneliness. So it's kind of the loneliness, it's in that sense, like he says, of Buddhist detachment. It's like there is some of that, which is, I think, a normal thing in the huge scope of things. One could be out in a huge, mountain range and feel totally connected with the cosmos and the earth. And yet also there could be moments of loneliness for feeling how small each of us is. So it's, I think the Sabi can cut both ways that way. The Wabi is the unexpected recognition of the faithful suchness of very ordinary things, especially when the gloom of the future has momentarily checked our ambitiousness. So it's being in the moment. And again, autumn has that flavor. I wouldn't necessarily call it gloom of the future, but that is that sense of, oh my God, it's getting a little dreary or cold enough to be inside, but yet it's a beautiful autumn day. So that's some of the feel of the Wabi. The woodpecker keeps on in the same place. Day is closing. The woodpecker keeps on in the same place. Day is closing. And then aware. Aware is not quite grief and not quite nostalgia in the usual sense of longing for the return of a beloved past. Aware is the echo of what has passed and of what was loved, giving a resonance such as a great cathedral gives to a choir, so that they would be the poorer without it. The evening haze, thinking of past things, how far off they are. The evening haze, thinking of past things, how far off they are. The stream hides itself in the grasses of departing autumn. The stream hides itself in the grasses of departing autumn. Leaves falling lie on one another. The rain beats on the rain. Leaves falling lie on one another. The rain beats on the rain. I like that one a lot because it's one of the principles of the haiku is just to present the suchness of things the way it is. So there, it's just the natural evocation that could almost be what some might call a dreary or lonely day, but it evokes that without ever saying that. It just presents the picture so that you may get into the experience and feel it and see it for what it is, without saying it's beautiful or depressing or any such adjectives, just to feel it. Leaves falling lie on one another, the rain beats on the rain. And Yugen. Yugen signifies a kind of mystery. It is the most baffling of all to describe, and the poems must speak for themselves. The sea darkens, the voices of the wild ducks are faintly white. The sea darkens, voices of the wild ducks faintly white. In the dense mist, what is being shouted between hill and boat? In the dense mist, what is being shouted between hill and boat? And an example of Yugen in the Zen Rin poems, those were some of the precursors to the haiku. They're basically two-line with a Zen feel to them. Wind subsiding, the flowers still fall. Bird crying, the mountain silence deepens. Wind subsiding, the flowers still fall. Bird crying, the mountain silence deepens. And then Watts writes, because Zen training had involved the constant use of these Chinese couplets since at least the end of the 15th century, the emergence of haiku is hardly surprising. Here's another Zen Rin one. The shattered mirror will reflect no more. The fallen flower will hardly rise to the branch. The shattered mirror will reflect no more. The fallen flower will hardly rise to the branch. So that gives the emphasis on the change of seasons, but unlike the mirror, the flower and the leaves will return. So that about wraps it up for the haiku calendar promo. They have not been printed yet, but if you were to let me know, if you are interested, if you haven't already, if you're in the calendar as a contributor, I already know. And if you've already ordered, already know. But if you haven't, please let me know. They are $13, and it's $225 for the shipping if you don't see me in person. And if you want more than one, you can let me know that. Thanks for listening, and be well.